T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Morning show with John and you on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. What are the benefits of being the host city of the Super Bowl? You may recall, because we've had a couple here in town before, but it's been a little while since we've had one. But if you've never been in, if you're kind of new to Atlanta and never been in a town that hosted a Super Bowl, one of the benefits is, in addition to the game, you get so many other incredible events. There's all the parties, all the concerts, and we've gone over a few of those, the whole concert series at State Farm Arena that's going to happen, Hugh, the concert series at Centennial Olympic Park, Shaq's big shindig that's going to be at SunTrust Park. What was Shaq
Tackler? It's called Funhouse.
Funhouse.
The Funhouse. Still trying to get tickets to that. Rock, if you're listening, hey, man, we need them tickets, man. Shaq, if you're listening, need them tickets, bro. Need some of them tickets, you know.
And he's going to have a big – he's having big concerts there too, right, in addition
to – See, I don't know, John. I mean, I got a list of I have a list of some of the festivities that are going on, and I'm trying to narrow it down to see what I want to participate in, because you know a lot of those parties require me dressing up, which is going to be a hindrance in a sense, because I ain't trying to do all that. I ain't really trying to. I mean, I want the swag bag. I'm gonna go to a couple spots to get the swag bag, but I ain't trying to do all that dressing up, man.
And the NFL puts on a lot of events. Of course, we'll have the NFL Experience down at Georgia World Congress Center. Well, we're going to be broadcasting, the whole station will be down there broadcasting during Super Bowl week, and it is really a great event, the NFL Experience. If you've never been, it's great for the kids, it's great for you, it's fabulous how well done it is, and so you really want to take advantage of that. There's other events, though, one of which we're going to give you a chance to attend on us in a few minutes, but in addition to all these events, NFL Honors, the night before the Super Bowl, on Saturday the 2nd, the NFL Honors. This is, I believe I said the 8th year they've done this, Hugh, where they've had it. It's going to be at the Fox Theater on Saturday night, the night before the Super Bowl. Going to be on national TV on CBS. Steve Harvey's going to host it. And you're going to have 22 awards given away that night, including the naming of the MVP, Coach of the Year, Comeback Player. All these awards, Hugh, and all the superstars in the NFL are going to attend the NFL Honors, sort of the Oscars for the NFL, I guess, right?
Yeah. Okay. They made it into a big deal, man, and to have it at the Fox, and you're going to have all the who's who of the NFL that's going to be there. It's going to be a nice star-studded event. Good time. It's going to be a good time.
Yeah,
I got invited to that, too. Yep. Don't think I'm going to go to that because that's too much. That's too many suits. It's way too many suits.
Oh, man, that's a pretty good
time.
Are
you serious?
I ain't going.
Okay.
I can't go with my PJs. They won't let me in my PJs on, so I probably won't go. I'm anti-suit wearing. I'm not going to do it. I can't do it. I'm going to give you at least. See, I have to pick and choose the events that I want to actually attend because I'm at a two-suit minimum. I'm at a two-suit minimum as far as how I'm willing to put on two suits during this whole thing. I'm a two-suit minimum. And that's not to say that I don't have – I have some suits. I'm just at a two-suit minimum. I'm not trying to do anything outside of just wearing two suits. If I had to do more than that, then it's going to be a problem. Two-suit minimum. That's it.
That must be – it doesn't even register with me. It's not like I think about what I'm wearing. I just go, right?
You know what he says, Jesus take the wheel?
Right.
That's one of those moments right there.
Jesus take the wheel. No, I have some nice suits, too. I mean, I clean up nice. I got some suits now. I just don't feel like wearing them. I just don't.
Well, at the NFL Honors, the awards are handed out, and we – are going to spend some time looking at, again, there's 22 awards they're going to be giving out. We're not going to be talking about, you know, the Performance Play of the Year or the Greatness on the Road Award or anything like that. We are going to be talking about the major awards, though, on the morning show. We're going to begin today by talking about Rookie of the Year. And here are your 5 candidates for NFL Rookie of the Year that will be awarded on NFL Honors Night. You, Saquon Barkley of the – and I'll just go down the list, and you tell me if you had
Saquon Barkley.
Okay. If you had a vote.
Hands down.
All right.
Saquon Barkley going to the Pro Bowl, if I'm not mistaken, correct?
I believe so, yes.
Saquon Barkley.
1,307 yards rushing, 721 receiving yards, 15 touchdowns, over 2,000 total yards on a bad team. Candidate number two, Nick Chubb from Georgia, of course. 1,145 yards, 10 TDs. How about Georgia running backs winning? Gurley last week, Michelle last week, and Nick Chubb up for Rookie of the Year. Candidate number three, Darius Leonard of Indianapolis.
Oh, he been balling too.
Led the NFL in tackles with 163.
It was 163?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he been balling. From South Carolina State.
Yep.
HBCU.
Seven sacks, two interceptions, and four forced fumbles. Candidate number four, Philip Lindsay of Denver. 1,278 yards rushing, 10 total TDs. And candidate number five, Baker Mayfield, quarterback, Cleveland Browns, 3,725 yards, 27 TDs, and he didn't even take over the team until, what week was that he took it over for Tyrod Taylor? Do you remember? It's like week three or four, right? I mean, he didn't play the full season, and he still had 3,700 yards.
See, I'm not mistaken. I'm not sure. I'm not sure about that, John.
It was like week three or four before they finally gave him the reins, and he put up 3,700 yards and 27 TDs. So, I gave Saquon Barkley, Nick Chubb, Darius Leonard, Philip Lindsay, Baker Mayfield, and you are choosing who?
Saquon Barkley.
Okay. Yeah, I think Saquon Barkley is going to win. Though, I think Darius Leonard, boy, you lead the NFL in tackles.
He makes a strong case, but I think that when you look at what Saquon Barkley has done, that I think that's what's going to be the guy. I'm looking at the Pro Bowl roster now and see if I can find a young man's name on the Darius Leonard. I don't think he's on that roster, but Saquon Barkley, he's going to be the rookie of the year.
You know, I think the only thing that it might be kind of disappointing to me in a way is whether or not Baker Mayfield wins it. Because, you know, I can never know what voters are going to do, but, you know, the voters here for the NFL honors, which include like football writers and broadcasters and players themselves, you know, I mean, do they fall in love with the quarterback and, you know, is Baker Mayfield, you know, because he's a me guy, you know.
I think people in Cleveland like that. Him and his coach are like that. Freddie Kitchens came out and was talking about how, you know, if you don't wear brown and orange, if you ain't from my hood, you can get from around here. So I think people in Cleveland like that, you know, because they won seven games, haven't won that many games in a long time. And so I think that the people in Cleveland like the attitude that their head coach and their quarterback have right now.
You know, so again, you have the rookie of the years, and by the way, I should note that there's the AP offensive rookie of the year and AP defensive rookie of the year. So actually, in the NFL honors queue, they're going to split them. So Darius Leonard and Saquon Barkley could both win. I just noticed that they split them into offense and defense.
Yeah, of course, but yeah, he might win. But I think for the offensive, it's definitely going to be Saquon Barkley. I do believe that.
You know, and then, you know, if you think about the defensive rookie of the year, with Darius Leonard probably being the leader because you lead the NFL in tackles, odds are, as a rookie. But, boy, you think about some of the impact some of those other rookies had on the defensive side of the ball. Derwin James, Leighton Vander Esch, Roquan Smith.
Leighton Vander Esch had impact when they were, like, two platooning him with the Dallas Cowboys, and they were talking about – I forgot the other linebacker's name because Leighton was putting it down so much. But, yeah, they were talking about actually – like, he was in a two platoon situation. And he wasn't the initial starter, which was kind of crazy that that it went down like that for him. It really was.
Yeah, you look at go back to the draft here and look at the kind of the top of the draft and how well these teams drafted maybe it's easier than I think it is to, you know, find star players, but we see, you know, so often, not to bring back a bad memory of Andre Bruce, where teams will miss in the NFL draft, and it wasn't just the Falcons missing on Andre Bruce. I mean, there's Ryan Leaf and Jamarcus Russell and Aqib Talib and Tony Mandarich and others that they missed on. But this is, Hugh, this is the top of the draft last year. Baker Mayfield 1, Saquon Barkley 2, Sam Darnold 3, Denzel Ward 4, Bradley Chubb 5, Quentin Nelson 6, Josh Allen 7. That's all seven of those guys have hit so far in their rookie year. All seven. You know, I mean, that's pretty good. And then Roquan Smith, 8. Make that 8 in a row. All the way down to Josh Rosen, and maybe who knows what Josh Rosen's going to be because of the situation in Arizona.
And the guy that Leighton Vander Esch was playing behind was Sean Lee. I couldn't think of his name at that point, but it was Sean Lee. But, yeah, Leighton Vander Esch was a pleasant surprise for the Dallas Cowboys. He really was, and especially when you look at how Sean Lee was kind of banged up. He's been banged up his whole career mostly. So, yeah, there were some rookies that really came in this year and contributed big time.
Yeah, four of them made the Pro Bowl. Saquon Barkley, Denzel Ward, Quentin Nelson, and Derwin James all made the Pro Bowl. And that's another name for Defensive Rookie of the Year is Denzel Ward. I mean, because Cleveland, I'll give them credit. You know, a lot of people slammed Cleveland. Remember when they were – do you remember that, Hugh, in the draft? They said Baker Mayfield and Denzel Ward, you could have had, you know, this guy or that guy or this guy or that guy. They were not happy with those draft picks. And turns out Baker Mayfield is up for Offensive Rookie of the Year and Denzel Ward's up for Defensive Rookie of the Year. So they must have known what they were doing.
Yeah, he's been a pleasant surprise for Cleveland. I mean, really has. I think the people there love him. I think they love his attitude. He's rubbed a lot of people the wrong way. But I think that sometimes, you know, you got to ruffle a little feathers if you want to change the culture. And you know, Cleveland is a place where they have to change the culture, John. There's no question about it. They've been like bottom dwellers since they've basically gotten back into the NFL. I think probably a couple of their best seasons, I think Jeff Garcia was quarterbacking. I think one year Jeff Garcia was the quarterback of Cleveland Browns, and I think they were close to making it to the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't make it, so they need a little bit of a chip on their shoulder out there in Cleveland.
You know, I was just looking back at that draft too, and in last year's draft, the Falcons got Ridley at 26. Then you had the Patriots get Sonny Michel at 31, and the Ravens get Lamar Jackson at 32 in the first round. You know what? This draft might turn out to be a pretty good one. You know, long term. I mean, some drafts are better than others, but boy, there seems like there's a lot of young stars that came out of the draft last year. So we'll see. We'll see kind of how it all plays out. But so Rookie of the Year, kind of the first one up. And again, this will be the NFL Honors that takes place at the Fox Theater on Saturday night, the night before the Super Bowl. Will be on CBS, hosted by Steve Harvey. And it'll be a live two-hour show with 22
Steve
awards.
Steve Harvey?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I know. It's an award show with Steve Harvey.
I'm not hating on Steve Harvey. Get all that you can get. Not that that wasn't why I was laughing. I just was it was funny because it's probably gonna be a great event. I ain't going though.
You're saying like he might get the names wrong.
Yeah, Miss Columbia.
No, I wasn't thinking that. It was just funny. I was just laughing. No, seriously. No disrespect to Steve Harvey and his camp or anything. I just laughed because I just thought it was funny. I'm actually happy for him because To go through what he went through with that whole Miss America thing and still getting hosting gigs, that's a plus. I mean, it really is. So, yeah, congratulations, Steve Harvey.
Yeah, which was worse, Steve Harvey with the Miss America thing or Miss Universe or whatever it was, and or the Oscars where they gave the wrong film out? Remember?
I would have to say the Oscars.
All day.
Yeah, the Oscars because that film crew, the one that got that had to go sit back down, oh, they were hot. They were hot. And the dude was snatching. Remember the dude was snatching envelopes out of people's hands? You got the wrong one. I would have had a problem. Like me personally, because it don't take much to set me off, I would have had a problem with that. Hold up, dog. Don't be snatching from me. You know, you got to check yourself because it wasn't, you weren't the reason why he got upset. I understand that. But, dog, don't snatch nothing out of my hand. You know what I mean? I'd have probably had a little bit of problem with that. So, yeah, he was hot. They were hot.
Well, nobody's going to snatch nothing out of your hands if you win $1,000 right now.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is
thunder. Now, it's just total coincidence,
thunder
I guess.
Thunder sticks. Who does that? Is that Katie does that? Thunder sticks. Okay.
Total coincidence that thunder is the word today, THUNDER, to 72881, thunder to 72881. And the only reason I mention that is because guess who's in town tonight to play the Atlanta Hawks? The Oklahoma City Thunder. The word is thunder to 72881. Message data rates may apply. Do not text and drive. Complete rules, 99thegame.com/rules. Thunder, THUNDER, to 72881. And no, you're not expressing your fandom for Russ and Paul George and Dennis Schroeder, you're just putting thunder into your text line so you can try and win $1,000 in a randomly selected word. And, of course, you'll have to 7:59 to do that, and we'll have a new word for you at 8 and at 9 and all day long through the national signing bonus. Talking about the NFL and the Super Bowl and some of the events that are going to go in and around the city, and if you've never been part of a Super Bowl, you played in one. I've only, you know, covered four of them, so you know, I've obviously never played, the event has grown from the first one that I covered, which was Super Bowl 16 in Pontiac, Michigan in 1982, and now 36 years later to Super Bowl 53. The event has really grown in stature.
It has. And what they've tried to do over the years, they've tried to make it family-friendly, fan-friendly. And, you know, there's still some grown-up stuff that's going to go on during the night. But as you get closer to the weekend of the Super Bowl, that's when the parties really start to ramp up. That's when all the fun stuff starts happening. Man, I was looking at some of the flyers that I've been getting. I think, what, February 2nd, there's going to be a celebrity football game that's being played. I can't remember where it is, but I know Chad Ochocinco and some other former players are going to be in that. That's going to be pretty cool. You know, like we talked about, Shaq's going to be doing his thing. Everybody's talking about the Maxim party. And how big that's going to be. I think Nike's going to have a party as well. There's going to be a lot of stuff going on around town that you're going to want to be a part of. But you're going to have to dress up. If you want to go to these parties, you're going to probably have to put your best come hither clothes on, because it's going to be a swanky little deal.
And by the way, you want to stay right here on 92.9 The Game all the way through the Super Bowl, because whenever anything's going to happen in town, we're going to tell you about it. We are the home of Super Bowl 53 in Atlanta, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. This is your station for that. Dave Archer going to join us next. Get Dave's thoughts on the NFL playoffs. Get Dave's thoughts a little bit on some of the Falcons' moves. We'll pick his brain in a moment. Mention that, and again, this is why we are the home of Super Bowl 53. We've got two tickets to give away right now to caller number 7, because it's a touchdown and an extra point, to go to one of the cool events, Super Bowl opening night, that's going to be at State Farm Arena, where all the players are being interviewed. Yeah, it's really a neat event. You get the headphones and everything, listen to all the interviews. Super Bowl opening night, we gave away two tickets right now to Super Bowl opening night on Monday night, January 28th, to caller number 7 at 404-741-0929. See, pays to be on the station that is the home of Super Bowl 53. Dave Archer's next. Morning show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Counting down to Super Bowl 53 on your home station. Hang on here. I know that Arthur wrote it down here, how many days out we are to Super Bowl 53. He wrote it down somewhere. I'm trying to find it on the rundown. We're closing in on it anyway. Like 19 days, is it? Something like that. Anyway, we're a couple of weeks away. And then, of course, we have that dead week, right? After this weekend here, we have that dead week. And then we have, of course, the big week of Super Bowl week, where we're going to be large and in charge and broadcasting live the entire station from down at the Super Bowl experience. We welcome into the program Dave Archer, of course, analyst for the Atlanta Falcons, as we get ready for the run of the Super Bowl. Morning to you, Dave.
Morning, guys. You guys are always large and in charge, are you not?
Is that right? I don't know about that. I don't know about that, Dave.
Doesn't matter where you're broadcasting from, you're large and in charge.
Dave, so we've had a little bit of time to digest and look back on the season. And what was your overall assessment of the Falcons this year?
I think the thing that comes to mind is Hugh probably missed opportunities. You had opportunities to win games late, certainly early in the year, and didn't do that. Defense, it was beat up, obviously, because of the injuries, and really couldn't find itself until later on in the year. So some missed opportunities to maybe close out some games and win some games that ultimately, as you look at it at the end, you would have been in the postseason if you found a way to scratch out a couple of them, and just couldn't do that. And then the middle of the year, the inability of the offense to kind of find their way late in games and find a way to win games. There was too many mistakes. Whether it was a ball off of somebody's hands or missed blocking assignment from a protection standpoint to give Ryan an opportunity against the Cowboys to get us in position to win that game. There were a number of blown opportunities. So I think that all in all, with all the injuries, and sure, we can blame a lot on the injury, but everybody gets beat up during the year. It's the opportunities you presented, and do you take advantage of them? And Atlanta just didn't do it. And unfortunately, it cost some guys their jobs, and there's going to be some reshuffling on this team.
Talking with Dave Archer about the playoffs and the Falcons and whatnot as we get ready for the Super Bowl here in Atlanta. Dave, one more question about the Falcons, and I do want to ask you a little bit about the playoffs. And as you look at the team and they make all these restructuring in terms of coaches, I mean, they bring in a new special teams coach in Ben Kautwika, obviously a new offensive coordinator, new tight ends coach. They have four current or former head coaches on the staff now. Three former offensive coordinators of the Atlanta Falcons are on the offensive staff in Knapp, Mularkey, and Dirk Cutter. Which gives them kind of flying in the face of convention, where everybody wants, you know, Matt LaFleur or Zach Taylor or Sean McVay. They went old school to all of this experience.
Well, I think they've kind of leaned on what they know has worked in the past. All these guys have had success calling plays. And I think that you're looking at tweaking pieces of the offense. I don't think there's a restructure job. This is the number six offense in the league. And so needing to rebuild the offense is not the case. What you need to do is you need to tweak some pieces on the offense, and that's from a protection standpoint. Can you get a little more solid up front? Can you find a way to run the ball with a little bit more power? And can you find a way to run the ball in short yardage situations? That's the offensive side of the football. And certainly Mike Mularkey, I think in his ability to digest and then regurgitate really the power running game to these guys and teach the right way to do it, I think he's going to be a big part of that. And Dirk Koetter has proven he's an outstanding play caller, an outstanding offense when he was here, when everybody was healthy and rolling in 2012. And certainly this year, the Tampa Bay offense was number three in the league. They do run some up-tempo, which I know people are excited about. That's something he let Matt Ryan do a ton of when he was here with Matt Ryan. And then, of course, Greg Knapp's ability to, having been here now for a year and understands Matt Ryan and has a chance to digest what the personnel looks like. I just think it's a nice blend of a bunch of guys that have a tremendous amount of know-how. Now, we won't know how things play out in the other areas. Obviously, the special teams thing, maybe the message has gotten a little bit old with Keith Armstrong. I think he's an outstanding coach. Coach Gawita comes in, and maybe there's a little bit different message there. Maybe you find a way to get some returns, get some hidden yardage in the special teams area. And, of course, Coach Quinn, that's what his expertise is on the defensive side of the ball. We saw what he was able to do in that stretch run in 2016 when he took over the defense, I think about week 11, and pushed them into the Super Bowl. So, obviously, all those tweaks, you're hoping they help. There's a lot of unknowns with those hires you just talked about. Now, we know what McVay can do. But Matt LaFleur, as a head coach, I mean, he was a quarterback coach 2 years ago. Zach Taylor was a quarterback coach 2 years ago, or last year. So those are two guys that now are going to have to lead 53 men or add the practice squad into it. That's a completely unknown situation there that you're trying to catch lightning in a bottle because they're a young coach and they've been on good staffs.
Yeah, there's no question about that, Dave. And when you talk about this staff, and we're talking about tweaking the team and everything, when you look at it, especially on the offensive side of the ball, is some of those guys that we're talking about that could potentially move on, are they fixable, or do you look at this as a situation where it's going to be a whole new revamped offense next year on the offensive line?
Well, I don't think they'll do that, Hugh, in revamping the offense simply because of the vernacular and the words that you have to use when you call plays, when you're trying to put things in. Matt Ryan's been under, 4 or 5 different offensive coordinators in his career. I think that as much as you can keep the jargon or vernacular the same. So as a quarterback, when you come in the line of scrimmage, you've got to make some decisions after you get a play call or after the coach gets through talking to you. In your headset, now you've got to make a decision about what you're going to do. You know, you're going through dummy calls, you're trying to get them to think that something's coming, you're coming with something else, or you're actually changing things, whether it's protection, which way the play is going to go, changing the entire play at the line of scrimmage with a pass play.
Mm-hmm.
All those things have to be able to roll off your tongue, and subsequently all those guys, the other 10 guys, have to be able to absorb that in a few seconds. So if you change everything you're doing, then that makes that tough. That makes that learning curve a much longer, much, much steeper process. And I think that Atlanta's too close to being a good team to do those kind of things. So it's going to be more of a tweak to get the power running game going, teach some different things up front. I thought that's where they lost their way a little bit, was the techniques up front of running the football, those type of things. So I think that's what you're looking at. I don't think it's an overhaul at all.
So if I'm hearing you correctly, Dave, and I'm not putting any words in my mouth, but Ryan Schrader, it sounds like he's going to be here because you're talking about a vernacular. You're not talking about changing the vernacular. You're just talking about helping guys out with technique and things of that nature.
Absolutely. Now, what Ryan Schrader's future looks like, obviously that's something they're going to evaluate pretty heavily.
Mm-hmm.
He's a guy that's got a lot of play time at this level. It's kind of hard to dismiss a guy that played tackle and didn't play well this year, mm-hmm. but has played well prior to this. Do you cut him with one season under his belt where it was poor? Can you rebuild his confidence? I thought he lost his confidence. He's certainly a player that's played at a high level. He was part of that Super Bowl offensive line that was pretty solid. So mm-hmm. can you get him back to that level?
Talking with Dave Archer here. Dave, let's ask you about the playoffs here. You have the top four seeds left. You can make a case for all four of these teams based on, their body of work this year, you know, who they have at quarterback, what kind of running game they have, their defense. Everybody's got a case to be made to be here in Atlanta. Is this a toss-up in these two games, in your opinion, broadly, or are there favorites like the Saints and Chiefs?
Well, I think the Saints are tough to beat in their building, John. I know that from being a player. You can tell you that's a really hard place to win. They found a way to win last week. I thought the Eagles had them on the ropes. The Eagles had a chance to win the football game. The Rams went in there earlier in the year and got run out of the building in a high-scoring game. These are, strangely enough, these are the four top four scoring offenses in the league. That's not a mistake. 1, 2, 3, and 4 in the league in scoring are going to go into these games. They're all top 10 offenses. Only one defense is in the top 15. That's New Orleans defense. They're 14th in the league. Everybody else is 19th or higher. In fact, Kansas City's 31st in the league on defense. So when they talk about defenses winning championships, you're going to have to find a play to maybe help you win a championship like the Eagles did last year with Brandon Graham's strip sack of Tom Brady. It's going to be about offensive football and which one can go get it. I think it's a toss-up. I think all teams can win. It'll be important for the Rams to get off to a faster start than they did last time they played against New Orleans. They don't want to get behind 10, 14 points. New Orleans is really good at coming from behind, but they're also a great front-running team. But I think that the AFC game is a tremendous amount of fun, too. You got a young quarterback and the old veteran, maybe the best of all time, in Bray. This should be a great weekend of football with the four best teams, really, in the league for this year.
Dave, don't you find it kind of weird that, you know, as much as, you know, me being a defensive guy and talking about how defenses win championships and all that other good stuff, the best defenses aren't really even playing in the championship weekend.
No, it's true, Hugh. And when you look at it, scoring defense is, I think, where you got a point. And New England is the seventh-ranked, number seven in the league in scoring defense. Everybody else is outside the top 10. In fact, 14th or higher. So, yeah, it's been more situational defense, maybe creating a play, something like that. Just like the play we talked about with the Brandon Graham strip sack in the Super Bowl a year ago, where there wasn't much defense on display in that Super Bowl last year, but it was a defensive player. A lot of people remember Brandon Graham coming in and getting the ball out so Brady couldn't find a way to win the game. So that's probably what you're looking at. And Kansas City has some pass rushers. All of them have pass rushers. Big loss, though, from an injury standpoint. Sheldon Rankin's getting hurt for the New Orleans Saints.
Yeah.
That was a huge loss for them and their ability to maybe stop Todd Gurley in the run game.
Boy, it's amazing how the NFL has changed, and they wanted the big offensive plays, and they got that big offensive explosion. That's what everybody's looking at, and they got it in one season.
I know you're closing your eyes and okay, there's a defensive play out there somewhere.
Somewhere.
Dave, you're always welcome. Thanks for taking a few minutes. Thanks for getting up early. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Good to be with you. Take care.
Dave Archer joining us this morning on the WaveFord.com hotline. When we get back, we're going to continue our kind of trek around town. Travis Schlenk, general manager of the Atlanta Hawks, on what they face against the Thunder tonight at State Farm Arena. That's next with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
The third annual Game Bowl Paper Football Championship is coming Saturday, January 26th at Stars and Strikes in Sandy Springs. Register for free now and you might win a grand. Sign up at 929thegame.com/Game Bowl. The third annual Game Bowl Paper Football Championship from Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We play really fast, and I think that's a reason why we turn the ball over so much, and we just got to work on going fast and being under control. And I think that's something that us as a team can get better at, and me for sure too as well.
Yeah, it's certainly something the Hawks, as a young, fast team under Lloyd Pierce, do have to improve upon, is that turnover margin, because they have been worst in the league in turnovers, and it's partly due to what you just said, going fast, and faster, and learning how to handle that. Trae Young's had a nice rookie season so far, averaging about 16 points a game, but those turnovers have been a bugaboo. We are joined now, welcome back to the Morning Show with John and Hugh, by Travis Schlenk, general manager of the Atlanta Hawks, as we get ready for the Hawks and Thunder tonight on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Trav, how have the travels been going, Trav?
Well, I tell you what, the government shutdowns get me with these TAC lines, man. They're getting long.
You don't sound as upbeat as you did last week. It must be a little bit of a grind.
Yeah, yesterday I got to Atlanta and the pre-check lines were over an hour long. And fortunately, a nice lady told me if you go to the regular old-fashioned take your shoes off line, it was only 15 minutes. So I got through pretty quick.
So. Wow. That's why, you know what, I don't like to fly anyway. So, I mean, but, you know, I'm not going anywhere unless I have to.
Well, you fly private. You fly private.
Trav, I don't know who's been telling you those stories about me, but they are not true. They are definitely not true.
Yeah, anybody's doing that, it's you, not us. Get on that private plane out there. Don't worry about TSA so much. Travis Schling joining us, talk a little basketball. So the Thunder in town tonight. Here comes, going to be interesting because you mentioned it earlier. Be interesting what the fans' reaction to Dennis Schroeder is.
Yeah, I think that he'll get a warm reception. You know, our fans historically have been appreciative of guys that have been here, and Dennis had a good 5-year run, and you know, was a part of that 61 team. So I assume he's going to get a warm welcome.
And then, you know, having him back here with Russ and with Paul George and, you know, the Oklahoma City Thunder coming in, and this is one of the better teams in the NBA. Boy, they can really light it up, these guys.
Yeah, no, he can leave some of his teammates back in Oklahoma if he wants to. No, they're a talented group for sure, playing really well. You know, they're extremely long. They're extremely athletic, as you mentioned, with Russ and Paul, but you know, guys off the bench come in and they play hard. And, you know, Steven Adams anchor in the middle for them as a big physical guy inside. So you know, they're a good team, no question.
How John Collins, how would you assess his development as a player thus far?
You know, John's on a good trajectory, no doubt about it. You know, I jokingly say he'll feel like he hasn't had a good day. And he looked down and he's got 26-12 again. Getting to be pretty routine for him, but he's got a really good touch inside. Continue to work on his shooting and his ball skills on the perimeter. And really excited about what kind of growth he can have. You know, the rest of the season as we get into the summer, having a full season with a consistent coaching staff and a consistent strength and conditioning program, what he can come back and look like his third season.
Hawks General Manager Travis Schling joining us this morning as the Hawks take on the Thunder at State Farm Arena. Tickets available at Hawks.com, and your chance to see the return of Dennis Schroeder. And, of course, the only trip this year of Russell Westbrook and Paul George into Atlanta as the Thunder come into town. As you've had a chance to kind of assess the lay of the land here, you saw Milwaukee over the last, 10 days or so a couple of times. Is that a team, you know, you look at Milwaukee, you look at Toronto, you look at the top of the East, is this going to be a dogfight for the Eastern Conference Final? Do you have a team that you think that you saw Philadelphia recently, too, that might be one of those teams that is will eventually break out and be the team to beat?
I don't know that you'll see a breakout. You know, obviously now Milwaukee and Toronto are the two top teams in the East. You know, Philadelphia right behind them. And I think the team that most people expected to win the East is kind of struggling a little bit this year is the Celtics. And will they start to put it together? You know, they had another loss last night on the road in Brooklyn. So, you know, you talk about those four teams. Certainly the Celtics are, you know, from on paper at least, have the most talent. But, you know, I've said this kind of all along, Toronto, you know, with the addition of Kawhi and, you know, having some continuity of their roster, you know, I would kind of pick them, I guess, if you made me pick somebody here on January 15th to win the East. But certainly Milwaukee has a really good team. And Boston, as we mentioned, has a ton of talent. They just haven't been able to get it to all click this year.
Travis Schling joining us as we talk a little NBA basketball ahead of the Hawks and Thunder tonight. And in this grand tour of things, let's just change this up a little bit. Did you see that Duke lost last night?
I saw the highlights of it. I was at the Maryland-Wisconsin game last night.
Yeah, Duke got beat by Syracuse, and Zion had 35, but then Trey Jones got injured. We don't know how badly, but it sounds like it might be a while before he gets back. But Zion had 35. You know, I know that you're looking at college basketball differently than most of us, like you and I. You're looking at individual players because you're grading them for the draft, and hopefully you end up with, you know, two first-rounders, two second-rounders. I totally get that. But, you know, in terms of just being a fan, I wonder now, because I guess I figured with all that talent that Duke was going to be the odds-on favorite to win the national title. But, boy, sometimes I see a few cracks in their game that makes me wonder in watching a team like Michigan, for example, or Virginia, that says maybe the race to the Final Four is going to be a lot closer than I thought it was going to be. What about you?
Well, no, for sure. I mean, one of the big cracks in Duke is their outside shooting. You know, and obviously Syracuse, as we all know, they play their 2-3 zone the whole game, and they force you to take a lot of outside shots. You know, last night Duke was missing arguably their best outside shooter in Cam Reddish as well. I think he had the flu, I read. And then, as you mentioned, their point guard got hurt 6 minutes into the game. So there's no question Duke is a top-heavy talent team, but, you know, they're not 10 deep either. So, you know, anytime you take two starters off a team, that's a pretty big blow. But there are a lot of good teams out there. As you mentioned, you know, Virginia, they defend, they run their offense, they have a couple guys that can make shots. So Coach Bennett does a great job there, and I believe Duke plays Virginia this weekend, so that'll be a good matchup. So Michigan's a really good team, as you mentioned, so it'll be interesting, and as we get closer, we'll see who gets hot in February and into the conference tournaments, and we'll worry about making our predictions in the first of March.
Yeah, and speaking of that game last night, that Duke game against Syracuse had they won it in overtime. It wasn't like, you know, they beat them in regulation. They had to take them to overtime to actually win the game. So, yeah, it was a pretty good game, though. It was a really good game.
You didn't stay up and watch it.
I went, Trav. I stayed up. Matter of fact, I watched the game last night. I watched that one, and I watched the Pittsburgh, Florida State game, because we're getting ready to make this transition into college basketball. So, you know, I gotta stay on top of the game.
Okay, you're doing your homework. I hear
a little bit, a little bit, a little bit, a little bit.
When do you sleep then?
I don't sleep.
You're like me.
Hey, Travis, we always appreciate it. We look forward to a big game tonight at State Farm Arena between the Hawks and the Thunder. Thanks.
All right, gentlemen. Thank you.
It is, of course, Travis Schlenk, general manager of the Atlanta Hawks. Hawks and Thunder tonight. Tickets available at Hawks.com. Game coverage begins at 7 with a pregame show, and then the tip at 7:30 with Steve Holman on the call on your home of the Hawks, Sports Radio 92 on the game. When we get back in a moment, Kyler Murray has entered the NFL draft, thrown his name in there. What does that mean for the top of the draft? What does it mean for the Atlanta Falcons? Because the mock drafts are all reacting, and it's sort of interesting, not going to lie. We'll have that next on The Morning Show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92 on the game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.